We've all seen the owners in the spot. We have pretty busy agenda tonight, so get started.
Has everybody had a chance to look at
the minutes from last month? I could make a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Perfect, Terry.
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, I'm jumping the gun here. Very well. All right, we're going to start. We have three speakers this evening, three presentations, and we will start with Casey Simon from ProAx. And like I said, since you traveled the first, you get the board first.
Okay, how's everyone doing? I'm only going to take approximately 2 minutes of your time, real quick. I am the communications coordinator for PROAC and the prescription discount card program. I'm here to give you a brief update as to how the program is doing in the county as well as New York as a whole. We implemented the program first in St. Lawrence County back in 2005. Since then, New York residents have saved over $170 million on nearly 4.5 million prescriptions. Ulster County implemented the program back in July of 2010. Since then, you guys have saved, over $2.5 million on nearly 53,000 prescriptions. So $2.5 million is going directly back into your residents' pockets by none other than by the end of 2014, we're predicting a 20% decrease in utilization. In hopes of keeping utilization up, we are going to revisit all the pharmacies within the county to drop off cards and answer any questions that the pharmacy may have. We're going to reach out to your county organizations such as your food pantries, community centers, to see if they want any materials to hand out to their residents that frequent their locations. We're going to continue to send the monthly utilization reports, which I brought the latest one for April. May will be coming out in a couple of weeks. And then we're also going to continue to send press releases when you guys hit your milestones. I brought a couple of bags that contain brochures, program information, and cards. And we just ask if you guys ever have the opportunity to hand them out to your residents that you do so, just so we can keep the knowledge of the program going. And that's all I have for you. Very quick, easy, yep.
3 hours, I hope you have something to do afterwards.
I know, I'm getting right back to the car and going back to the interview.
Really?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's a beautiful day for a drive. Yeah, in the spirit of keeping me here another minute or two, would you mind giving a brief description of what exactly PROAC does? Is that any kind of something?
PROAC is actually a pharmacy benefit management company. What we have, we implemented the prescription discount card program to counties all over. We're in Connecticut, we're in Ohio, Minnesota, New York, New Jersey, we're reaching out to Georgia and further south. The program it's a discount card that helps uninsured and underinsured residents get discounts on prescriptions. Essentially, anybody can use it if they have to pay the full cash price for a prescription. It'll give them the discount. You can never use it in conjunction with anything else. It also has some vision, hearing, and LASIK benefits that are associated with the program, and then there's also a low-cost dental program that's associated with it, and everything's right on the website, all the details on the program information sheet kind of spells it out a little bit more for you. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what we do.
Very good.
On this side,
any questions? Sure.
What is the website?
Oh, it's nyrxdiscountcard.com.
Is there any premiums?
Mm-hmm. Only for the dental. Dental is the only thing that costs anything. I think it's $32.50 for a single and $52 for a family. That's a yearly.
Is there any other plans like that?
There's other discount cards out there. Or we are completely free. There's no yearly fees that are involved. There's no sign up. The card back in 2005 got sent to all the residents in the county. It's completely activated. They just have to go right to the pharmacy, hand them the card with their prescription or with their refill, and the discount will come off at the full cash price.
Piloted in one county?
We started in St. Lawrence County, and now we have 51 counties in New York alone. So.
Legislator Walter Fry initiated it in Ulster County when he was here. That's when we started it up.
I was around?
Yeah.
A couple of years, four years, something like that. 2005, probably not. That's why you're traveling around going to. Right, well, with Obamacare, there's some plans that don't even cover prescriptions through them, so then they still have to pay the full cash price. Or there's sometimes they have the really high deductibles that they'll never meet, so then you can use the card.
It's
actually funded through the pharmacy. The pharmacy and the pharmacy network decide on the discounts, and it comes right out of their profit. And all the pharmacies participate. If you're independent, and if there's ever a pharmacy that doesn't, you, they can only get hold of us, and we can have them added to our network so they can participate.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
That's fine. Get on her face.
Yeah, well,
I will. Looking forward to it.
You'll probably get home before it gets really dark.
She'll probably get home this day, we just...
Oh, I'm going to leave you guys next time. That way, if you ever have any questions, there's just a couple of them. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm going to give you any questions, and then just give you a call. Okay.
Perfect.
Well, have a good night, everyone.
Yep.
Great
having you.
You too.
Take care. Okay, moving right along. Our next guest this evening is Justin Sparks. Justin Sparks is a pretty quick-thinking 11-year-old, right? You're 11? From my neck of the woods in Walker Valley, who essentially saved the life of one of his classmates, who was choking during lunch, right? What was he choking on? Like a meatball or something? All right, well, that said, welcome, Justin. If you want to, you know, tell us a little bit of what happened, you're more than welcome to.
Well, at first, like, he just, like, took a break of his lunch, like we always do, and he thought he got told, like, he just, like, put, like, and he was, like, just went down, so then he took a drink, and it wasn't going away, so... I'm like, Louie, are you okay? And he said, no, not okay, I'm not breathing fine. So I started, so I got up and I said, here, get up. And I come to his chest and I tried to pull him and push up at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he started to cough up the food and the liquids, and then he went to the nurse.
Wow. Cool. Very nice. How did you learn the Heimlich? Was it from school or did you?
Well, they just have like a bunch of posters, like where I eat, like, they have them in the nurse's office and the restaurant that I eat at. I guess that's what I learned.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, no, I wanted to bring you here for two reasons. Number one, you know, being that I chair of the health committee is, like, most health. And not that a meatball is necessarily the healthiest thing, but just watching one from one of your friends throw it. So I really want to commend you for that. Yeah, and the other reason is that, you know, with the nature with the nature of what goes on in the media now, where they're always casting like a negative light on things, you know, they're so pessimistic, especially when it comes to like today's youth and some of your generation, you know, they're always focused on bullying and people who are getting in fights and so forth. I wanted to take this opportunity to cast the light on a positive and show what who you are as a role model, you know, thinking quickly like that and doing something that's really, really something to be proud of. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that your parents also, who are obviously very proud of you, and have played, you know, a crucial role in making you the young man who you are today. So I want to thank them for that, and I want to thank you. That said, we also have a credible fraternity room. Sure, that that we would like to present you.
I'm just an assistant.
Yeah, it has a little message on there that you can read if you want.
Chairman Lopez,
it says, Pride of Ulster County Award presented by the Ulster County Legislature to Justin Sparks in recognition of your heroic effort, courage, and quick thinking to save the life of a fellow classmate by performing the Heimlich maneuver. So, again,
Thank you.
As long as you recycle it. And you guys will have to fill out your Instagram for our county businesses. Although we have, I'm sure, a very informative presentation.
That restaurant sounded good.
Thank you very much.
Schools and a lot of graduates coming out of it.
But we're talking more about the ones that are on the higher end that come out from approved programs, and the information here tells you about that. So they're competent to do a lot of the functions in outpatient settings. The main difference we can say between medical assistants and nurses, our nurses are trained for inpatient settings, medical assistants are trained for outpatient settings. And I think you all know, if you're on the health committee, the outpatient setting is the one that's really expanding. So there's a lot of need for this. So we've been working on recognition. We've had some moves forward. President of the Medical Society of the State of New York has been our keynote speaker at our annual convention. This is a convention journal from this current year's convention in Syracuse. So we have one in different locations of the state.
And we are recognized in other states. It just seems to be a problem in New York and Connecticut.
One of the things that, and we'll show you on one of the slides, is New York State, because it's a very regulated state, the state educational department and Office of Professions and so forth, it's very stringent, so it's hard to move things around. But we've made some leeway, but we're going to show in the presentation a bit how New York State is a much harder sell on a lot of these things. It's harder to move things forward as far as legislation. And that's why, you know, these ground level things, a county such as yours showing some interest in this can be very helpful. We have worked with New York State legislators on this, but we know the problems there are in Albany, just getting, you know, the really nuts and bolts stuff passed. So these things, they get on the docket, but they're not able to go so far. So we're hoping, with some tenacity, we'll be able to move this further a little bit more. And what we're talking about is the scope of practice for medical assistance. What we can do, and with a new York State law, we've been limited. And a lot of these people who have paid money for education and gone through programs are now being restricted on what they can do in the medical offices. And Linda can speak for herself, coming from another state, how she was affected in her move. And it's frustrating for people because medical assistants can't do in New York State what they do in the majority of other states. So we're trying to bring some recognition to that and move it forward. Take a look here.
Okay, so Linda Rossi, I've been a certified medical assistant since 1991. I worked originally in Arizona in an urgent care center. So I saw the differences. When I moved here, actually, I didn't even know the differences at first because it's a national certification. And the reason I picked that over being an LPN is so I could move to another state and not have to worry about getting relicensed and all that. But I moved actually to the wrong state. I did have good luck. And last job I had, I worked at Dr. Heller's for 5 years. And before that, I worked in Arizona for the doctor for the Phoenix Suns, Diamondbacks, and a whole bunch of sports teams. That was a really great job. I had a lot of responsibilities, and I'll show you in here the difference of what you can do here compared to other states. So I looked online, the United States Department of Labor, from the government, thinks that we can do all these different jobs, but it does vary from states. New York State says we cannot remove sutures, we can draw blood, we cannot change dressings. So it gets a little bit confusing. We have to really be up on the laws.
So this is a tenure thing.
Right, so from the government, not New York State. Right? You have to look a little bit closer. It took me a while to even know what I could do or not. New York State law, we can do secretarial work, vital sign of EKGs, lab specimens, venipuncture, and that's kind of vague in the law, carry out a specific task. So that kind of sort of gives us a little leeway.
You can see this list is much smaller than the first one. from the government. So we may not perform, we cannot administer medications, which I didn't even know when I first moved here. No, we cannot administer medications. I used to have a pharmacy where I worked, and we were allowed to dispense medications from the pharmacy. Removing sutures, which I cannot believe we're not allowed to do that. Changing dressings, which we show patients how to do that at home. It's very, very simple, so I don't understand that one either. First, assisting in surgical procedures, we don't normally do that anyway. We assist in minor surgeries. We set the sterile tray, so I guess that's not an issue. And then we hand the doctors different instruments that they may need. Pulmonary function testing is basically just blowing into a tube. I don't understand why we can't do that. Allergy scratch testing, that's a little bit more involved, so I can understand that. There's some confusing issues with the triaging and screening, because when you call the doctor's office, the women at the front desk sometimes answer your phone calls and decide where they're going to put you in for appointments. What I basically do is, if you call the office, I will take exactly what you tell me, what your symptoms are. You had a abdominal pain 3 days, you have a fever. Word to word, what you say to me, but it's parentheses per patient, and I'll hand it to Dr. Heller. I will not decide anything myself. He will come out, or whatever doctor I'm working for, he'll come out of the room in between patients, he'll look at my charts, and he'll say, tell this patient to do this, tell that patient to do that. Same thing, I write word to word. If you're getting a nurse, she may decide on her own without talking to the doctor, so I like the screening method better because you're reaching the doctor. If you're using a nurse in the doctor's office, like an RN, sometimes they just decide without talking to the doctor. So sometimes screening can be better, because if you have change, when a facility has different nurses working, they're not familiar with the patient as your doctor is familiar with you. So you really want the questions to them. So I thought that was important.
I'm going to give them time to look at the slide, because I'm just realizing it might have some information that we missed.
So we do not make any clinical assessment. That's really the difference. But in a hospital, then you have to use the nurses for that, and they are good at that. They are trained for that. It's different in a doctor's office. All state permits physicians to delegate certified medical assistants to administer medications except New York and Connecticut. So 48 states say yes, 2 states say no. Of course, but in one and closest one next, so I can't really travel to another state.
As Jay mentioned, here is the executive director of the American Association of Medical Assistants, who is a JD, he's our legal counsel. So he's monitoring this sort of thing all the time. State to state, since it's a national organization. So we boil it down to just the two outliers at this point, Connecticut and New York.
I was told it's because they're older states, so they don't recognize newer degrees. I've been told that a lot. That's basically the issue.
Can I ask a quick question? Sure. So are these your State Department of Health requirements? Or are they actual law?
They're actual law.
They're law. So, okay.
But there's nothing really on the books about a credentialed medical assistant or a certified medical assistant, which I think that gives us a lot more leeway. It just says medical assistant, which really they should be doing.
It's all on
injections. But you should be credentialed and go on to an accredited school a year or two. If you have a national test, you know, I'll go into that a little bit more. So New Jersey, actually, you're allowed to do injections.
Can I jump in for 1 second? So you can essentially practice as a medical assistant, uncertified, correct? Like, can you be hired without a certification?
Right.
Okay. So I think that maybe that's a little bit of a
gray
area, because, you know, I don't know, I think you'd be a little bit apprehensive to allow somebody who isn't certified But working under the same title.
But we have a different title. We're either called registered, certified, or credentialed.
Okay.
Which credentialed is meaning that you went to an accredited school for a year or two, and then you passed a national test.
Which is showing.
Right, and the test is tough. It's the same one they give the doctors.
And I don't know if you saw this, there is a copy of an outline of the test in here.
But my point being is that you don't necessarily have to pass it or be certified in order to work.
They'd rather usually hire a credential.
Well, it depends. Doctors that are trying to cut corners have people to do the jobs that they need often don't. Some of the smaller practices are looking at having certified people because their attorneys, their medical practice attorneys, are saying you have credentials.
You have to in New Jersey because it says right there, a certified medical assistant may administer. It doesn't say medical assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they have to clarify that in the book because there is nothing in New York law. So if we added something like that to the law, it should be too tough. And it worked in New Jersey, it worked in all the other states, and you need affordable health care workers. And CMAs are affordable. A nurse is $90,000 a year, and LPNs are $40,000, $50,000. You can hire a CMA $20,000 to $30,000. And with Obamacare and the reimbursement, it's going to happen eventually.
And
it's only
your
Because then insurance companies will leave because they'll go to states where it's more affordable, hospitals will keep closing. I think they're going to move the LPNs toward us, back to the hospital, but we'll see.
The second paragraph here is very telling on what a certified medical assistant is.
The certified medical assistant must be a graduate of a post-secondary medical assistant program accredited by the committee. You'll see this committee a lot, CAAHEP. It has to be either of those schools, and that's it.
So KNAP, MPS, and they must be certifying under AMT or AAMA, the National Center for Competency Testing.
And the U.S. Department of Education.
Yeah. So that's New York State law. But they are students. They have scales down. You know that there's lots of different schools here. Ridley Lowell over in Poughkeepsie is one with the certified program.
If you want to continue, we'll try to save our
When I worked in Arizona, taking body fluids, administering again injections, dispensing oral medication. Nebulize the treatment, so if someone's coming in with an asthma attack, everyone's really busy, we bring the doctor in, he says, give them a nebulizer treatment, and then they're able to breathe again, basically. You know what that is.
Sure.
So that's really important for us to be able to do. Vision screening, pulmonary function tests, charting, ultrasound, dressing changes, suture removal. And they've been doing it for years and haven't had any problems. Here's some of our sources, which are in the book, so you can recognize it and look them up if you're interested. And these states have been doing it a long time, Arizona, Arkansas, California. We'll go a little bit more involved. We can see Maryland law. We can do injections again. We can do IVs. You can do a lot in Maryland, which is pretty close by. So, again, I don't know how they were able to pass it. You can't see the passion here.
It's a completely different state. But
it shows that we could do it.
Well, I get that. So,
California law, again, you can do injections.
Okay.
So different states might have different aspects. You can do this, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. So bottom line, what are you asking New York State to do? Because I think we ought to cut to the chase because we get the gist of that, the other states are authorizing you to do other things.
Right.
So what is it that you're asking New York State to do? Because I think that would be more beneficial to the legislators to have an understanding as to what you're asking
New York State to do. Injections,
mm-hmm.
Change bandages, remove sutures. The administering injections is the highest point because you're putting something into someone's body. But a suture removal is less. You will all see the difference, correct?
Right.
Okay. So the thing is, we would like to broaden the scope of practice in New York State.
Okay.
So we could start with a few things.
Have you met with the Department of Education yet?
Yes.
And what did they say about why they're resistant to, you know, amending the law to allow you to do this? What was their reasoning? Because if you would fall under that.
We often get directed to other agencies, the Office of Professionals.
Well, the Office of Professionals, the Office of Professions is a subdivision of the Department of Education. So what are they saying to you? Because it's that office that regulates the nurses and the nurse practitioners. So what are they saying to you as to why they're not embracing, embracing the amendments to the law to allow you guys to be credentialed and to be able to do these things?
They're interested, but they're not moving it forward. We actually don't get specific answers. The person who has all the history on this, and perhaps she could present a timeline to you of the various activities that we've done just in the last 10 years, it's just not moving forward.
But there's got to be a reason, though, why they're being resistant, because I've worked for New York State and I've been a lobbyist. So there's got to be a reason that they're setting forth that they're not really embracing this so far. So then they haven't articulated that at all? Is it just not
specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Not specifically. And we try to elicit the help of the nursing board, because nurses are the most threatened by this, because if medical assistants can give injections, it might take something away from them. And it might. It might mean a medical assistant gets hired at a better rate than a nurse who wants to have the benefit of having a day job.
Have you raised the doctors? Have you gone to the doctors and asked them for the assistance, and where are they coming from?
Well, I'm speaking from the Medical Society of State of New York, mm-hmm. The current president, mm-hmm. is extremely supportive,
okay.
of moving medical assistance forward. So I truly don't understand why we aren't doing this.
And there's a bill, right? You guys have a bill introduced?
We have a bill.
And have they written a memorandum of support for your bill?
I believe so.
Okay, because that's vital, because that will help you. If the Medical Society is interested in your bill and having this happen, mm-hmm. trust me, the doctors know how to rock and roll with the legislature.
Yeah.
They have a lot of power. So, you know.
Well, I'd be interested in, because you seem to have a high level of understanding of the workings of this sort of thing, and perhaps talking directly with Paula, she's very well spoken about this. We've made several trips to Albany and met with people. Barbara Elman from the legislative office has attended our conventions, and they've been extremely supportive. But it's like people who are supportive just get so far, and it doesn't go anywhere.
Have you reached out to the New York State Nursing Association?
Nursing Association?
Yes,
and we did very well with that,
okay.
but there's been a major change in position there, so we've lost our main contact with that for the time being.
Well, yeah,
so we're reaching out again.
That's definitely something that an organization that you should reach out to.
Right.
I know that they have substantial influence, you know, over what happens policy-wise.
Right, right.
Especially when it comes to, nursing people.
Yes.
And like you had touched on briefly about nurses feeling threatened by broadening the duties of other healthcare professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, it could make their profession obsolete, being that that you grant more, like I said, duties to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can understand how.
I don't think that nursing will never be obsolete, and I'm uncomfortable saying that.
They're predicting a very large shortage in the near future.
No, there's such a shortage all around.
Right, and it has not affected the other states at all. And we all work together. I mean, the office I work with, we had an RN, we had an OPN, and a CMA.
There are medical offices that have no nurses, and orthopedic offices very often do that. They have their x-ray techs and their medical assistants. They don't have nursing staff, and this is some of the big crises in the law. I was program director for a secondary school, and I ran internships, so I have a lot of associations with big practices and so forth. So I know how they run and how they operate, and money drives a lot of decision making. Sure.
Max, what specifically are you looking for us to help with?
Well, let's finish the presentation and we'll get that off. No, I think it's much broader than that. But Linda really feels the sting of that because she did it, and she did it successfully, and she has the experience. But it's just terrible not to be able to.
I would have to run and go get another nurse.
Right. I understand.
I'm surprised I
didn't. Did you know that prior to moving to New York?
No, I didn't know it at first.
All right. Who tells whom what?
Right. So education, which we already went through that, is a 1-year or 2-year program, like an LPN program. And then we already talked about the 2 schools. The only certification, TNA is the only certification program that utilizes the National Board of Medical Examiners as a test consultant. So
that's very big. That's the same consultant that gives the doctors, sign the doctor's test. So.
And that's just AA, although there's a couple other national certifications.
You have to get recertified every 60 months with continuing education, or you have to go through the examination again, which everyone usually chooses to get the continuing education. And again, about the exam, or to read it, but the basic part of the exam is that it's put together or the National Board of Medical Examiners oversee the test, and that's the same one that the physicians that you take over their boards and all that, which their boards are very popular. Employment projection. TNA employment expected to grow 29% from 2012 to 2022, much faster than the average of all occupations. So that's very interesting. And due to aging baby boomers, everyone over 60 is the largest group of adults right now, and that's usually when you start running into problems and going to your doctor's office to follow up on high blood pressure and all those types of things. New and changing tax for payments, which I'll go into the next slide. Affordable Care Act, so not too many people are going to the emergency room, they're going to see the doctor because now they have a doctor. And then electronic health records, the CMS. The government again recognized that only credentialed medical assistants, not MAs, can enter into the electronic medical records. So that was very big. It just passed 2013. I would have just gotten out of working in the office if I wasn't able.
And that had a lot to do with the influence of AAMA. A lot of work went into that. And it was huge. And it's a very positive thing. So if a medical assistant makes an order entry on
certified
credential, they have to use their credential, or they're not allowed to go on the system.
Like an LPN couldn't?
Yes, as well as licensed healthcare professionals. So they included us with the licensed healthcare professionals.
Good.
That would be really big.
But a non-certified would not?
No, non-certified would not be able to.
Right.
So a lot of paper to get out of work with that. That's probably the best thing that's happened to us. You know, in the last few years, in something that's been very frustrating.
And all the insurances are based off Medicare and Medicaid. You're pricing, everything, most of the regulations are.
You're all familiar with the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS. But let me just say, so Medicare is a big grandfather of the law. So almost at the end here.
So LPN. Practice skills under a physician or an RN, so that's a big difference. I can't practice under an RN. We do not practice independently, and we usually work under the doctor's medical license. So that's what I was told from the very beginning, and there was never a problem with that. on opioid addiction, place my ID, which we can in Maryland, but I don't expect that ever to pass in New York. And insert catheters and use supplies by on standard education for both MAs and LPNs is similar length, but different.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Different.
Well, see, I actually went to LPN school too, and a lot of it was more geared toward the hospital. So, like, they would go a week was how to make a bed, and I got bored, and I dropped out, and I went into medical assistant school because we were giving saline injections. We were doing injections on each other. We were drawing blood on each other. We were setting up surgical trays. So it was just much more interesting because they had to do everything right there. And so when you got out and you went to go give an injection, you weren't even nervous because you had already given many injections. We just used saline water.
One of the differences between medical assistants and LPNs and nurses in general, as well as the inpatient versus outpatient setting, is the training. And the medical assistant's training in the two-year programs that we talked about for the associate's degree is clinical. And we've been talking mostly about clinical skills, but it's also administrative in general. So we have exposure to a broader kind of thing, and there's a lot of versatility in what a medical assistant can do. As a functioning medical assistant, I did the clinical things, but I was back up to the nurses. But I was office manager as well for CAC and Kaiser Permanente. So it's good for people in administration to also understand the administrative aspects of what's going on and vice versa. So you know what your doctors are talking about and so on.
And just using a variety. If the nurse or someone's out or someone's sick from the front desk, then you can fill in. You pretty much know that the office never shuts down because you
right.
pretty much can be handling any situation because of that.
Right.
It's very important. And that's the end. Do you have a clearer concept on?
Sure, yeah, that's just.
Do you folks have business cards that we can?
Sure.
Like Dixie, like the lovely Bonaparte.
I don't even know your name.
She's a lawyer. One of the things is, couldn't you go to the Senate and the Assembly Health Committee and state your case? Because they're the lawmakers, they can change the law. What do you mean?
But
you could draft a law, and you don't need anyone's permission to start to draft the law. Then they bring it through the process and get these people I understand what you're saying. It takes a while to get a bill passed. Okay, it's got to go through both, Assembly and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So while it's, at least you can talk to the committee and maybe you get a draft resolution set and then meet with the...
Well, they do have the bill. They apparently do have the bill.
I don't know what the status of that is. I have to look at that.
But part of it is you kind of have to work all of the angles, Carl, because you have to make sure that the, the part of that is on board. The keys is if you can kind of convince them and get them going on it, then you can get the Senate and the Assembly. Or conversely, if you can get the other stakeholders, such as the doctors and nurses involved, that also helps. But the fact of the matter is, if you can get the agency explained to you why they're resistant, it's helpful. Because then you can start addressing those things, and then. Like I said, you work all the angles when you're trying to work, trying to get licensure. Because I work for the Hearing Aid Society, and it was very hard. Worked very hard to get licensed just by Department of State, and that's a nightmare.
Now, so do the RNs have their own association, or is it all medical? So the RNs and LPNs have their own lobby.
Yep.
They're all independent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can see, how RNs are threatened. They probably agree.
Well, that's it. That's why I had asked
yeah,
that
the relationship you have with them are, if you've reached out, and then what the status of that is, because they could, if they're in favor and on your side, they could be, you know, a significant help to you. However, if they're not on board, it could also be a crutch.
One of the lesser trained, non-credentialed medical assistants, as in all professions, can give it a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
And if you work with a high quality person and you see how confident they are, you're going to have more faith in that person and this being a working situation. So it's going to have to be evolved more. More perhaps medical assistance for them if you have to become licensed in New York State. And then what would happen to all those non-credential persons? So that's why it is a very complicated issue, but we have to start somewhere.
New Jersey does basically credential, and I think they don't, in the other states they don't go through the nursing, they go through the medical society.
A medical society doesn't take law.
If I know they don't go through the nursing aspect of the law, they go through the physicians, where I had a slide on that too. So the other states did not use, they didn't go through the nursing board at all. Most of the states did not.
I'll have to look into that more. Those agencies are far for assistance to maybe go forward.
I had a question about the certification process. So you mentioned before that some programs it's a 1 to 2 year was the time variation you explained. So what delineates between a 1 year program and a 2 year program? And so basically the different skill sets that you're talking about that are implemented in a medical environment, whether it's in office or hospital, you're talking about being a puncture, which a phlebotomist would do. You're talking about removing sutures, changing dressings, first assistant in minor surgical procedures. You know, in like New York State, that would be physician's assistants or nurses of some level. And then you're talking about doing ultrasound, which would be certified physical therapist.
Arizona.
Oh, okay, right. I saw that on the slide. I'm sorry.
So New York State, when you're in a doctor's office, you don't have someone to draw the blood. You just have the certified medical assistants or the LPNs or the RNs to draw the blood. And what allows you in New York State to draw the blood. So that's already passed.
So, like, in the programs, like, what's... So do you just basically learn, you know, like, anatomy and the skill sets? So you're not taking core curriculum stuff that you would in a traditional RN type program where, you know, you're taking English and you're taking humanities and social sciences.
You do take,
I can speak to the general associate for medical assistant course. You start out with some core courses such as English, you know, just to be competent people, psychology. Medical terminology is the first course to be taken, so you understand the language because it is a language. And then you move on to anatomy and physiology 1 and 2. And some of the colleges like Ridley Lowell and the ones in Albany that I'm affiliated with, Bryant Stratton and Milvanelli, need to have courses that are also reciprocal to a nursing program. Because a lot of medical assistants say, I really love doing this, but I want to get paid better for it, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they go on to other things.
Is there a clinical as well?
Definitely clinical. And in order to pass the program, you have to pass the competency. So you do have your instructor, who is a credentialed medical person, a nurse or a physician in these medical assisting courses. Check all your competencies to be sure that you do it, and internship is mandatory. So you do have to do a whole modular or semester of an internship.
So the difference between a 1 year program and a 2 year program is the same certification test? Is this different state by state, school by school?
No, a 1 year program wouldn't cut it with either AAMA or the American Medical Technologist, ANT,
and their national service.
So there's just a select number of states that allow the, where the one year program cuts it to do
that's
certain
right.
prices.
They'll just establish their own criteria.
Okay.
So in Europe, you're looking for the 2 year.
Well, sometimes it's not exactly 2 year, but a certain number of credits, yes.
Which means what? How many credits?
I'm trying to remember. I've been out of education for 8 to 10 years now.
Would it be something similar to an associate's? What is that about?
It is an associate's.
Yeah,
And Ridley Hall, as far as local schools, all issue associate's degree. But they also have a clinical program that's less comprehensive, and you cannot sit for the national exams for that. So they're not as broad.
So essentially, your argument would be, from an educational point of view, that the students that come out of these programs, you know, because there's not as much of the core curriculum involved, that they're actually getting perhaps more of a medically based education than, say, a RN would, in your opinion?
Well, then we're trained for the hospital, and we're
right.
trained for the medical office, so we get more training for a medical office than an RN.
I'm saying, you know, right.
But they have more training in the hospital.
I have a friend that just, he went back to college in his late 30s, and he works at Albany Medical Center now. He was working at Kingston Hospital for a little bit. And I know the coursework that he took. He took it at Columbia Green Community College, which is like 35 miles from here. So, I was just sort of curious about, sort of comparing and contrasting, you know, like for a traditional RN program in New York State through, you know, Ulster Community College, Dartmouth Community College, Columbia Green are three area schools that have fine and competitive RN, you know, programs, and you have to take certification after you complete, like, 63 credits.
Yeah. So they're not usually used in the doctor's office because they can't afford them, but they're usually used in a nursing home or a hospital.
So basically my point is that I understand there's some differences because of the clinical setting not being in a hospital, but you're
right.
saying that the actual training that you're learning in the classroom is, you would say, even perhaps slightly more because you're obviously covering other areas necessarily. You know, you're not...
Or a doctor's office.
Right.
But the national certification...
Yes.
You have a national certification.
Right.
The problem is two states, Connecticut and New Jersey, have specific requirements for them.
New York.
No matter where you go in the country, in New York State, you can get that certification nationally, but
right.
you can't get
right.
New York State to certify you to do the things
that's
that
right.
the federal government allows you to do.
If you look at the two master moving here, and they've been from the Phoenix, and I was doing cranial facial, removing sutures that were so tiny, and
I'm just totally wowed at the fact that most people are leaving New York State, you happen to come here.
I know. And then I would actually leave again because of them, but I can't because my husband has a business.
So back to my question before, with what is it specifically that you're looking to us?
To enlarge the scope of practice or tell us how to go to the next step and be allowed to do injections, remove sutures, change bandages, just keep it simple like that.
It's
in three items that medicine is
trained to do. Bandages, it's in here what we're trained to do. And what's happened is it's been taken away from some medical assistants, some competent people. I have a close friend who works for the big ENT practice in Albany, and he was rolling patients and taking vital signs and, you know, just was a real part of the hub of the practice. And now many of the students have been taken away by the legislation in New York State. So you're having people, capable people underutilize it.
So
don't want incapable people utilize.
That person you're talking about wasn't practicing in New York, right? Or was he practicing in New York?
He was.
And what took away his duty?
The fear of his physicians that it was too great a liability, because physicians are very concerned about liability. When they look at the current law, as you've seen it, well, this guy isn't supposed to be doing this.
But is he credentialed?
He is credentialed.
But you would work under the physician's license.
That's right. Why.
So that's why they're very cautious. They could lose their license.
They can be sued for accidents, as usual. But there's a lot at stake. I know, one thing we could do, if we agreed on it, we could draft a letter to the assembly and the senate and attach the bill to a letter of support.
I don't know if it'd be too early for like a formal resolution in support of this, because it seems to me that it's not going anywhere.
Right. Yeah, I would like to
write up something from the state organization and present it to someone here.
Well, it's a little late because right now they're shutting down.
Well, we can be prepared for the next session.
They run January through June. Is New York State Senate and Assembly. So basically, I guess, you know, like Councilor Darren would attest to this, but the best thing that you could do would be to, I mean, essentially you two are serving as the lobbyists, per se, like public relations, I want to use the word sales representative, but right, so you're sort of you fulfilling that role in trying to market this to, you know, to politicians, essentially. So if you were to go, you know, to the assembly and to the Senate, I myself personally, I don't know if it's, is there like a list of a curriculum guidelines in here? Like I know the test. So maybe if I personally got a chance to look over that, and if I myself felt personally, I'm not going to speak for my colleagues, but I'm sure each one of us would do a similar process where we're looking through, maybe we did a little research and we're sort of comparing and contrasting, you know, like it's, since some of the things you're doing falls into different areas, like phlebotomy, like our, you know, RN, LPN programs, and we're sort of looking, and if we felt comfortable that it's an equivalent type of educational program, then like what Legislator Figlio was saying is that perhaps we could draft a letter to some of our, local, there's four state senators and four assemblymen, right, I believe, that cover Ulster County.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's eight out of the mix of, you know, it's 213 total, or 216 total senators and assemblymen in the state, and then, you know, make trips up to Albany and follow up on that, and I guess, you know, lobby with as many, you know, legislators out there in Albany as you can. That would be the best bet for you.
Well, that would be a tremendous help.
Do you know how many CMAs there are in the state?
The fastest growing profession, but
not everyone gets certified. You can come out of an associate's degree program and take a national exam.
Well, there's no, the only way you could look at some of the national records, though. Your own state records first.
We don't have that.
But then that also limits what they can do if they're not certified.
That's right.
Like you're certified, you can't do anything more than an LPN.
Because a lot of engineers that don't take the PE exam, they work for engineering firms.
So Chairman Craig, could we send a letter to giving us some summary of the information that you would like for from us and what we've done.
Who here in the county or
not from here? We were a little caught off guard with this. And this was put together well and quickly for you.
Sure,
I didn't even show it before tonight.
If you want to put that together and get a letter out to the chairman of the legislature.
Parity.
P-A-R-E-T-E.
P-A-R-E-T-E.
Okay.
And then maybe collectively, we can discuss in committee, the best way to move forward on your behalf, and we can, to speak with the chairman as well to see what kind of ideas that he has.
Is a copy of the bill that you introduced to in here in this packet or no?
It is not.
What's the bill number, do you know?
I do not. Is it in here?
I looked and didn't see anything.
Why don't you put...
And it may have just died at this point. Do they have a lifespan?
Depends if they're held for the Hilton committee or...
They always exist, it doesn't matter how they move. But at the end of this term, they will expire and then they have to reintroduce them in January.
You may want to list that bill number in the letter to the chairman.
Right, even if it has
gone. That's fine.
No,
then it would be.
Can I check
and see how it was passed through other states, or it doesn't matter?
Listen, when I talk to my clients, there's the other 49 states, and then there's New York. And that's the way it is. Everything in New York is different, and that's just the way it is. And I talk about that even from a real estate perspective.
Is there anyone that we can come to here with a question if we have it? You know, we're not training lobbyists or anything.
You can contact me anytime. All right. And maybe I'll have the Health and Mental Health Commissioner, Dr. Carol Smith. You can get her information off the website, off the county website. I mean, that would be if you could get her as an ally, that would help.
Where do you live?
I live in
Albany. So one of the things you need to do is you need to contact your legislator. Can you use the Senator Breslin? I don't know. Do you know who your state senator is and your assembly person? That's federal.
Federal.
Oh. But it used to be Breslin.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, who is? You live right in Albany County?
I live in Rancho County.
Oh. Okay, well then that's McDonald's. It used to be Senator McDonald.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I think, and then I don't know who your assemblyman is because the number of districts is there. So, that's where I would start, in your home, because it always starts at the grassroots.
Yeah.
So start at home.
See, but I am functioning from the state organization.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we know Albany is a job of it all, and you understand.
You always try to start at home.
In your own town.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
And you too.
All right.
Right.
Oh, you live in Albany?
So where do you live?
Yeah. I'm in.
So, okay. Who is that? Is that Senator Larkin?
So I'm Steiner. You know where that is?
I recognize your name.
Yes. I'm building a little bridge at the moment.
Senator Larkin is your senator, I believe, and I'm not quite sure who your assembly person is. So you need to go to
the... No, it might be Cortana.
Cortana? It could be, I don't know. The Sorgies is carved out. We have Senator Lopez. So that's, you need to go to your home people, too, and start talking to them. No. On the state level, on the state level.
Yeah.
This is the county. So you need to go to your state people.
Okay.
Let that get you down because I think it's good to let us know what's going on. I mean, you're our constituent, and we take this seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But from our standpoint, we would have to do the same things that you're going to have to do. The fact that the session's closing down for the year this month, and it may be better to do what Erica said, is to contact your local representatives and see how far you can get with that. And then we can also contact them.
Yeah, that sounds.
Everyone's on board. A premature letter might do nothing at all, really. Mm-hmm. Especially if nobody knows what you're talking about.
What about
wait until we make our... No, how many in your case? I mean, I find out how many...
CMA.
Well, you already have Congress on your side.
Is there an association?
You already have that. So you're trying to convince New York State.
They all know
before. That you think your way.
They definitely don't have it in it. Right. Your address.
Okay.
Because you have to be recertified. Right.
Right
now, I have to get credit. It keeps you on your toes.
Can you recertify through what agency?
AAMA, I do personally. So
that's a national accreditation, and you pay through...
I pay Reach Credit, and...
You pay nothing to the state of New York?
This logo, the red,
national again.
The red and gray logo is from the American Association.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from, well, this packet is the New York State Society is affiliated. There's other national credentials. A couple others, though, that are as thorough as this. And this is what, you know, I personally feel we need out there for better health care, to help the standards. Obviously, New York State. I have a home in Florida, too. But I'm functioning New York State as a past president because I've worked really hard on this. And Linda was able to get some attention from you folks. And we appreciate it so much.
I appreciate you coming. Yeah. I'll take any attachment you were going to send to the chairman, so I can give you my...
Okay. Do we have contact information?
They gave you my card.
Okay. Good. Do you want
one? If we only have
one. I didn't have two cards.
What are you doing? Or I'll let you learn to send houses. I love it.
My wife's an observation. Yeah, she has to be. What's that?
Her just says she
works. Northeast Seminole.
Oh, okay.
There's another one.
So, she has to get certified. Every 2 years or so.
Right.
And licensing thing. She gets the CMA credit. Mm-hmm. And she's also certified in New Jersey. She doesn't want to get that one up.
Right. Yeah, this is expensive to do that.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
Yeah.
So even for me?
Maybe I'll have her give me a call.
So I think the strategy question, what they're saying, contact your local, because like Senator Bonsack and Assemblyman Larkin, are they running for re-election this year?
Senator Larkin.
Yeah, see, if you can convince them that, you know, you have a substantial block, voting block through, you know, your professional organization, then, you know, that carries weight with them, especially when they're running for re-election, that, you know, they're going to listen to you at the very least.
Right.
So.
It's a big organization. How many do you think we have in New York?
Okay. Yeah. 500. Yeah, it's not that much. People can't afford to pay the dues.
I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Sorry for giving me a hard time.
Oh, no.
Are you practicing in our area then?
I wasn't Dr. Heller, but...
Where's Heller right? Oh,
thank you.
Approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 is due by the county, multi-county community development corporation, and then the Department of Social Services.
I'll make a motion for discussion.
Second.
I'll move it.
Second. Okay.
Pins.
Yeah. Pins.
And JDs.
Yep, this is part of 35% county and 29 state and 36 federal fire impact casualty. Well, lower than $2,000.
That's our portion?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with PIMS.
Take care. I run for election next year.
So, is there any discussion?
Who's crisis intervention case management liaison for you for diversion status or court order supervision unit? Something that we do every year.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's the has our percentage. We don't know because no one's here to answer that question.
No, it's 35%
or anything.
I don't think it's really changing much.
It's a state mandated program. Only they only pay 29%. We pay 30%. And the federal government pays 36%. So.
Yeah. All right. Any discussion? Yeah. Another discussion?
No discussion?
Call vote.
Aye.
Carries. All right. Confirming this resolution 198 confirming appointment to Los County Board of Health. This is Ann Cardona. She is the former director of the Office of Aging. I believe we have some
application. Thank you, Nettie.
Thank you. And we've
It takes me a couple times, but I'll get it.
Second. So, Minister of Science Gerontology, so that's the study of elderly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty good quality. I'd say she'd be an asset to the Department of Health Board.
Any discussion? Other discussion?
Time period where you're a director of Office of the Aging and then you all of a sudden get appointed to a board in the county. Is there any kind of, time period where you can't serve on a board?
I don't think so. It's only when with an appointment. We have that one with employment.
All right.
That's not on good serving on board.
Okay.
Aye.
It is the second.
You should initial that so they know you made the mistake.
Okay.
All right, we'll move on to catch her.
I know something with the post.
All right. Resolution 204, amending the 2014 budget to increase allocation from New York State Child Care Block Grant Subsidy Program. This is additional monies from the state, correct? Right, this is from federal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from the state.
Just pass it.
I believe so.
Yep. It is in the amount of $214,436.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They want to give us additional money. I'm okay with that. Any discussion?
Yeah, I have a question about. Okay, so if this is a block grant, that we're getting comes from the state, and I know it's money that we're getting, but are we hiring any new people to service this grant, or are we, are we going to get into a dependency stage where, all of a sudden the funding stops and then these people are gone and then the whole, whatever expanded programs that this grant is going to get,
That's a good point. I don't know if
that's... I don't think it's for personnel. I think it's the money passing through for services, Carl. For the,
operations.
Well, for their...
It's families.
Yep. So it's to provide services to those people in need.
And needing the child care subsidy.
Low-income
families. Child care, okay.
So it's not really personnel. It's...
Actually part of the program. Well, for those that... You said a three-path, right?
I think that's what it is. I'm not...
And the funds will be used as a primary resource to the department in meeting the child care subsidy needs of low-income families. Now,
I'm thinking of food and residential, things like that.
Now, if there's something you need to be.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Very
good. 205.
Yep, 205. Another one amending the county budget to accept additional allocation funds. From the New York State Office of Mental Health. This one is in the amount of $55,110. Any discussion?
The Office of Mental Health supported housing. I know we had a resolution in the last month or the month before, because I asked a question about like where's the housing, and I think they couldn't say. Because of
I think it was in the town of Sorgities. Yeah, they gave a general locale.
When they say eight additional supported housing beds, that could be in four different facilities.
So that's something that we could get specific from. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe if Nettie could send an email to Mr. Connell asking
sure.
the question.
We'll see, yeah.
No,
he's
definitely well.
Yeah.
I mean, he was here, and
yeah, right. I mean, are these beds like group homes, in communities, or?
Question. Yeah, that's.
He was here, and then he left.
Well, in my district, there's actually a setting like that. Some of them are residential, like there's a large. Calling the style home.
Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely a need to keep people down there.
They're actually registered voters.
And I think there's, definitely a need for it.
And they're not necessarily, they might be people that are more like developmentally disabled rather than somebody that, falls into a like a category of mental health issues where they would require like supervision or something like that. So it's.
I mean, the thing that gets me is the increase. Other miscellaneous contractual.
Maybe just about anything, right?
Well, no. I mean, I think they probably have to use this money for a specific thing, but we don't know what program. It's a mental health program for housing, but for what kind? I know there are housing programs for people with mental health illnesses that have children. It's just. Mental health illness, whatever, what defines where this money is to be used.
But this is for Multi-County Community Development Corporation, which is the contract that you had previously approved. So I don't know if it does sales. So it might be something we needed to find out if it goes in, if it involves within some new duties, or if it's another contract that the county has with that particular vendor.
Is there anything attached to the gold sheet in the back? Is there any details?
No,
I don't know.
Well, the sales is additional funding, so it may be just additional funding to that original.
So that particular contract or another one?
That's back up in. There's no increase in county contribution.
No, right, I understand that.
But it is for a specific vendor. It's our designated for a specific vendor.
Oh, mm-hmm. So I'll reach out to him to see if we can clear up some of the ambiguity.
Yeah, that's all the
back.
That's your character.
CTC.
You really got to know what you're talking about in this area, because I was reading the letter where they're informing the county that they're increasing the funds, and I have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. So, you know what, we'll have to ask Mr. Connell, because this is like, sorry, this is not my area of expertise at all. Give me a contract for real estate and I'm good. But that's a little bit way beyond. I think Mr. Nelson probably explained.
Representative from the county executive's office at our meetings, really, because.
Yeah, no, I
was there.
I don't know that I was there. That Jeanette, the founder,
the chairman, was like, excuse me.
Right. Yeah, she had, she took a little bit of an issue with him being that she didn't think he had to be there for everything. Only if there was something specific that we wanted to reach out to him for.
One of the things, I could not open the attachment. I think personally as a legislator, regardless of whether or not this is what some people will say free money to the county, we should scrutinize everything, whether it be pass-through money or money that's allocated, you know, from some funds within the county. And it should just be an easy answer for Ken, I'm sure it is. But now someone has to contact him and get a hold of him and ask him about it. I mean, I guess I'm going to ask him about it if I could have read the, I went online today to look, you know, at all the resolutions too, but.
Yeah, they were online Friday.
So, anyway.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Helping people. So.
Aye. Move on to resolution 206, authorizing the chairman of Oak County Legislative Convention enter into a lease agreement with Family Services for office space at the Cooey Ethnic Harbor Center in the Village of Allendale. And this is
an ongoing lease, right?
I don't think so. It's new because it's a satellite office now that
they wanted to provide.
Actually, if I could turn this into a question, Ulcer Prevention Council, which Family Services is the facilitator of that council, is using it for satellite office for the Ulcer Prevention Council, not for Family Services. So the Ulcer Prevention Council will have 108 square feet in the old Judy Resnick Barber. I'm assuming it's for the year.
I was going to ask
whether or not I can vote on this because I am the legislative appointment to the Ulcer Prevention Council.
It's basically a closet, right? 108 square feet.
It's 108 square feet.
Almost $1,100 for the year. So, this is one of the things that I hear from my constituency all the time is that a lot of the services provided are in or near Kingston and providing access, in the town of Worthing, kind of just in the lower end of southern Ulster County where it tend to be forgotten. We don't have to tell them how big it is, but just tell her.
But 48 hours a month, right? Well, no, I mean, it's 1,080 for a year, so
right.
Well, sure, I have to divide that by 12.
Well, you know, there's a big need for it within the Allendale School District, and it's, what you said so far, with Family Services is, I believe it's on, is it on Foxhill Avenue?
Mm-hmm.
Or right on Bay Street, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they operate in the
part of 10 by 8. It's not even 10 by 10, it's 10 by 8.
I'm assuming it's 10 by 8. It's 80 square feet. The town's location.
10
by 8 would be 80 square feet.
Well, that's what they have, though.
108. I don't think any of the taxpayers know if you're going to give anybody a hard time about the expenditure rules.
Well, the county can't make money. I mean, they're not supposed to. They're paying us. We're not an enterprise. Unfortunately.
Any other discussion? No? Call a vote?
Aye.
Aye. I'm carrying very well.
Move on to, do we have any new business? Let's play up.
Yes, I am talking with my wife, and you know she's an occupational therapy coordinator at the Northeast Center for Special Care, and this past year they won 3 accolades for their service and for their care, and I think what might be good, and we might want to do this with all the nursing homes and facilities in Ulster County, is to have a little visit and see exactly, you know, how they're serving our community.
Sure.
One of the things I think I'd like to try to do is have some of the representatives come to this committee and explain exactly what they do and what accolades they had. Maybe we could draw up something for them in the way of a pride or something. And then maybe take a tour of the facility. I think a lot of people don't know what that facility does. And it's one of the few in the state. The residents that reside there are from all over New York State. It's a specialized healthcare center for brain injuries, brain traumas. And I know years ago when they first started this and they got the funding for it, I got a lot of bad press. And I know a lot of people, and I'll talk to people on the street about it, and they'll always have a bad memory of the financial difficulties and the quality of care there. And I think that maybe it's time that Ulster County not only recognize our healthcare facilities, you know, that are accredited in this county, but also this specialized care center. So if you want, I'll get people in contact with
them. Definitely. We can coordinate. Perhaps we can have our meeting there if there's a room we can utilize and then go on a tour.
That would be even better.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can get, yeah, both at once.
Sure.
If that's, you know, the committee, you know, would like to do something like that. Where's it located? It's in Lake Stream. It's one of the old IBM buildings.
Okay.
It's across the railroad tracks.
The
actual
Okay.
I'll arrange that.
Well,
contact then.
Yeah, as far as conducting county business on
private. You can take a tour. Absolutely.
Well, then maybe we could.
That could be your meeting.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, then we'll just come over the parking lot and do a resolution.
You have to advertise the meeting. You have to advertise the meeting after the general public.
Yeah, so I don't know if you're going to want to have that.
Yeah, there you go.
We
have
to
open
up the whole thing. I don't think we should. The legislative program is having it at the different locations.
Which is
like they were at Cornell Cooperative.
And that's a county.
Whoever the legislature is giving money to, those are the locations.
Right. Yeah,
the
center.
Well, that's the county. Oh, that's the county.
Yeah.
No, maybe CASA? No, what is it called? CASA? CASA, I don't know.
And that's also a county program.
They're all county programs.
Yeah. So CASA is as through, yeah, there's...
They're
going to each, are they having their meetings at each one?
Yeah, they're touring them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Cornell Cooperative is through, is a county thing. I know CASA has the public defenders.
The family,
What is Naples, Florida?
What
is the legislator's home in Naples, Florida? When we had legislative meetings, when
he had the question would be, Carl, is that you'd have to have the facility if they're willing to open it up to the public. And usually those facilities, they have security.
No, rooms. Absolutely.
They
have a meeting room, and that was...
They might not honor the lights because some people come in.
I know.
It's a fun season.
I'll put Anne Marie on it.
Okay.
So that's my lucky turn.
No, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I gave those poor women a real hard time, but
I think in the end they get what they need.
Thank you. Okay. Here we go.
That's more simple. There you go.
I thought that was her
job.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, Priscilla. Very
well.
Okay. And our next
meeting
is June 30th, right?
You're
a little bit.
That's right, June 30th.
Amen.
For the healthcare.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right.